Thank my daughters. They were almost upset with me. I had a backup plan. They was about ready to knock my head off when I told them they couldn't sing. So I'm grateful that they have a desire to serve God as well.
Amen.
Amen. In the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 8. There, say amen, please.
Amen.
Amen. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.
Amen.
For a thought today, I like to use the subject, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. The text allows us to glean into God's word, and it allows those of us who are committed to seeking after the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness to see just how much our God truly loves us. While we were yet sinners means that there isn't one of us who are sitting here today that does not fit the profile. Romans 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of his glory." Now, if the Bible says it, then it is so. But the good news is that even while we were yet sinners, Jesus what? Jesus did it. Just this past month or so, as we were studying the topic, sin and salvation and Bible study, my mind began to explore all of the things that Jesus has done and all the things that Jesus has gone through, just so that you and I could become reconciled unto his Father, even while we were yet sinners. The very first line of the study read, "We believe that salvation is a gift from God and is received by man through personal faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for sin." You and I must understand that the gift was Jesus. And the gift is Jesus. His birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection compose the gift. What draws me to this perfect gift is the fact that the gift is free. In other words, the free gift that Jesus is trying to give to both you and to me is salvation. Salvation means to be saved, is being saved, and will be saved. In other words, it was Jesus who saved me from the dark and dreariness of my past errors, faults, and failures. It is Jesus who walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And it will be Jesus who leads me and guides me all the day long. In the Old Testament, God gave promises and pictures of a Savior who would one day provide for our salvation. The first promise was the seed of the woman whom Satan would wound, but who would fatally crush Satan, found in Genesis 3 and 15. Then God provided a picture for us of what the Savior would do in Genesis 3 and 21. And every animal that was offered as a sacrifice in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ, and every altar to the cross. Who do you know that would be willing to go through what Jesus willfully endured for you? Who do you know that would shed their blood for you? Who do you know that would allow themselves to be beaten unmercifully and treated like Jesus allowed himself to be treated for you? Nobody but Jesus. Oh, my brother and my sister, this is why I cannot wait to get together on Sunday morning to worship with the saints of God. This is why I love to sing praises to his holy name. Because you don't know what I've gone through all week long, but Jesus does. And when I'm able to show up on Sunday morning, all that means is that I have experienced another week of God's grace and mercy because Jesus did it. It tells me that what Jesus did for us was then transferred to us as a gift. A gift is something that you get but you do not earn. It is something that someone wants to give to you and it costs you nothing. In other words, it's free. The weight of my sins resulted in experiencing a spiritual death that meant I was cut off from God, the one who created me. It meant that I was cut off from my lifeline. But 1 Corinthians 15 and 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Jesus did it. The weight of my sins meant that I should experience a physical death. But 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If you read verse number 6, you will find that as long as we remain here, we're absent from the Lord. Which is why I'm so glad that Jesus did what he did, so that when the time has come for me to give up the ghost, it will not be grievous, but much rather filled with joy, so I can hold fast to the song that says, oh, I want to see him, to look upon his face. Oh, I want to thank him for my saving grace. I expect to see the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the one that died for me, the one that set me free. Jesus did it. Matthew 1:20 tells us that Jesus was conceived by a virgin, showing his purity of birth. God used a virgin so that every person whose scales are removed from their eyes would also come to know that his birth was a perfect birth, and no earthly man could lay claim to be his father. Luke 4 and 1 tells us that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. In other words, what you and I have to understand is that without the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, all that we do will be centered around self-centeredness and not God-centered. John 3 and 5 tells us that Jesus is the bread of life. The Bible goes on and tells us that Jesus declares that whoever comes to him shall never hunger, and that he that believeth on him shall never thirst. Jesus is not talking about eating natural food or drinking water from an earthly well. However, Jesus is talking about eating spiritual food and drinking spiritual drink. Life-sustaining elements for anyone that will place all of their hope, all of their trust, and all of their faith in Jesus. To someone who does not know Jesus in the pardon of their sins and is experiencing a season of trials and tribulations will deal with it differently from one who has made Jesus their choice. When you talk to someone who has allowed the bread of life to come in and sup with them, you might hear them tell you about all that they're going through, but you can best believe that before they finish talking to you, you're going to hear them tell you that when they stop and look back over their life and they saw the footprints in the sand, they will tell you that they've never seen the righteous forsaken nor its seed begging bread. John 8:12 tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. In other words, you and I must understand that that there's almost nothing that we can do in the dark without Jesus. We can think that nobody sees what we're doing. We can think that nobody knows when we're creeping. But this scripture reference tells us that even though we might think like that, it does not mean that God does not see us or even know what we're contemplating in our hearts. Isaiah 58 and 8 tells us that God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows the very number of hair that is on our heads. You and I don't. Before coming to Jesus, we were all fluttering around in darkness. Where we were, as it says in Psalms 1 and 4, like the chaff which the wind driveth away. We were controlled by our feelings, and we acted and spoke from our emotions. But what Jesus did for you and I gave us an opportunity to come out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Only because of what Jesus did for us, we can now think right. Only because of what Jesus did for us, we can now talk right. Only because of what Jesus did for us, we can now walk right. I do not know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus did it. As I get ready to come to my close, John 14 and 6 tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When we commit our way to Jesus, we can be assured that he will show us the way in which we should go. When we commit our minds to Jesus, Jesus will open our eyes so that we can see the truth and turn away from vain imaginations. When Jesus will help us make the right choices and the right decisions, which will be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. When we commit our lives to Jesus, Jesus will deliver us from a life that is displeasing to God our Father. Jesus will help us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Jesus will help us to stand on the solid rock, which we call and refer to today as the Rock of Ages. Jesus will help us to cry out to the Father and ask God to create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit. This is why Jesus came down through 40 in two generations, was born of a virgin, took on flesh, lived among us, allowed himself to be crucified, hung on an old rugged cross. And before giving up the ghost, cried, "Father, it's finished." If any man should ask you, "Why do you sing?" You should be ready to tell him that you sing because you're happy. If you're saved today, you certainly can tell. You may not be able to preach like Paul, but you can tell the love of Jesus. You can tell it in a song, or you can tell it in a poem. You can tell it any way you chose, but you can certainly tell the love of Jesus. When I started the sermon, I said today that my house has been filled with a little sadness this year, this week. But everything is all right. Because I've learned in these short years that I've been walking with the Lord, that it doesn't look what it looked like does not appear to be what it is. As long as I trust and put all my hope, my trust and my faith in the God that created me, everything gonna be all right. I don't know about you today, but I'm glad that there was no man that can lay claim to being Jesus' father. I'm glad that Jesus did what Jesus did. I'm glad that he gave his life. I'm glad that he died on the old rugged cross. I'm glad he went into the grave. And I'm glad that early Sunday morning, nobody but Jesus.